AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Student protesters have occupied a building at Columbia University and barricaded themselves inside as an escalation of the pro-Palestinian protests came hours after a school-imposed deadline to leave an encampment on the university lawn. Before occupying the building, protest spokesperson Mohammed Khalil said,
"This is a movement, an anti-war movement. We have sparked similar Gaza solidarity encampments across the nation and even across the globe."
Secretary of State Antony Blinken continues his trip in the Middle East today. There's new optimism for a temporary ceasefire. Three members of a U.S. Marshals Fugitive Task Force were killed, along with a Charlotte police officer. They were attempting to serve a warrant. Four others were hurt. One shooter was killed, and authorities are questioning two other people who were inside the home. And testimony resumes today in New York in former President Trump's criminal hush money trial. This is ABC News. There are new questions about the death of a Colorado mom, says ABC's Rhiannon Alley.
The autopsy ruling her death a homicide, finding substances consistent with an animal tranquilizer in her bones. Suzanne Morphew went missing on Mother's Day in 2020 while allegedly on a bike ride. Just 7 months ago, authorities found her remains in a shallow grave 45 miles south of the family home. Her husband, Barry Morphew, was initially charged with murder and evidence tampering, but charges against him were later dropped.
Prosecutors say they are not ruling out future charges. The U.S. and Mexico are dropping out of the race to host the 2027 Women's World Cup. They're focusing on their joint bid to host the 2031 tournament. They're also calling on the International Soccer Federation, FIFA, to invest equally in both the men's and women's World Cups. The U.S., Mexico, and Canada are hosting the Men's World Cup in 2 years. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Is your computer so slow you can hardly use it? Does it have blue screens, malware, viruses, reboots, hardware crashes? Sound familiar? Computers will have problems, and when they do, you need the computer experts at Madison Computer Works. Every day, we help home users and businesses keep their computers and networks running smoothly. For solutions to your computer problems, call the pros at 231-8000, and we'll turn this into this. Madison Computer Works. Computers that work for you.
Progressive presents 10 things on a food truck owner's to-do list that are harder than getting a commercial auto insurance quote. Stocking the fridge, prepping the stations, finding employees that get along well, finding employees that actually do their job. Look at you, Gary. Balancing the books, balancing the flavors, having a fresh menu and fresh produce and fresh meat, but never a fresh mouth. But the easiest thing on a small business owner's to-do list? Seeing if you can save on commercial auto insurance. Get a quote in as little as 7 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Coverage subject to policy terms and conditions.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. State School Superintendent Jill Underly says her agency can't implement Wisconsin's new literacy programs until lawmakers approve funding for them. Republican legislators are claiming in court the state can't spend $50 million for new reading initiatives because of a partial veto by Governor Evers. Hundreds of students are encamped at the University of Wisconsin Library Mall to protest Israel's war in Palestine. A group called Students for Justice in Palestine organized the event. It finds its protest against, quote, ongoing genocide and Zionist war crimes in Gaza and against student repression in the U.S. Protesters are demanding an end to the war as well as for UW-Madison to divest from corporations that do business in Israel. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers lose to the Rays. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It was the bottom of the ninth. The Brewers' Jake Bowers at the plate, and a called three strike got past the catcher, but Bowers was called for interference, preventing the tying run from coming in. Milwaukee losing at home 1-0, thanks to a bad call by the umpire, says Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Of course, you're frustrated. You know, really, you're frustrated. There's a lot to be frustrated about, but you can't let yourself do it for too long. It happened. We put ourselves in that position. But when that does happen, there's a lot of one-run games. When that does happen, you want them to get it right. And I believe 100% they got it wrong. according to what I just read in the room.
NBA, it's do or die for the Bucks, down 3-1 tonight against the Pacers here in Milwaukee for Game 5. So what's been hurting the Bucks?
You know, when you shoot better than the other team, but they take, 17 more shots than you, you're not going to win that game. It's hard to win that game, and yet we still could have.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Mostly sunny and warmer today. We'll get to around 70 for a high this afternoon, with wind out of the west becoming south at 5 to 15. Tonight, scattered showers and thunderstorms, our low 55. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 71, with more rain and thunderstorms tomorrow night into Thursday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in Tuesday to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Trump is back in court. I feel better about that. And he's coming to Waukesha on Wednesday. Tune in, Devils.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 3 to 6. You're listening to Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
It is time to wake up now.
Wake up. Don't sleep your life away.
Rise and shine. 6 a.m. and your hand can't make it to the alarm clock before the voices in your head start telling you that it's too early, too dark, and too cold to get out of bed. But you didn't ask their opinion. The voice you've chosen to listen to is one of defiance. A voice that says there was a reason you set that alarm in the first place. So sit up, put your feet on the floor, and don't look back, because we've got work to do. Welcome to the grind.
Go yourself.
You want to do it now?
I'd love to do it right now.
With lots of love and a hearty, how you doing this morning, neighbor? It's the John and Gordy Show, only on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Take it away, boys.
You know, we're going to have to ask Catherine to do that again.
Why is that?
She sounds too happy.
Way too happy.
We don't start the show like that normally.
No,
we're
we
a
don't.
Little angry.
Yeah.
A little, you know, tired. We don't want to get up this early either.
Yeah.
So, Catherine, you know,
yeah,
it's got to bring it down a little bit.
Dial it back. Yeah. We're not that happy.
Yeah.
We're usually pretty grumpy this hour of the morning, especially your first cup of coffee.
And now, you know, with the warm weather moving in, you know, the mornings are really warm, hot. I know the temperature doesn't feel that way, but there's a certain warmth or humidity in the air.
I think you're right. The dew point.
The dew point is
up there, and the humidity is high.
No one brings up the dew point anymore.
Nobody talks about dew point or isobars anymore or jet streams. No, they don't skip all that.
I don't care about the isobars. but I do care about the dew point, right? Well, it's a big deal. It makes a whole difference.
It does feel a little more humid first thing in the morning.
It does.
Yeah.
And it feels humid right now.
Yeah. And I was asking Sam if we could hit the air conditioning, because it's really warm in the studio here.
And there's no way to adjust it.
We know what the temperature is in the studio?
Right now, I don't know. I know that somebody, for some reason, sets the temperature ridiculously high. The highest that I've seen it is 77 on the thermostat.
Oh, my God. Why would... It can't be set that high. I mean, we're not kicking in heat here overnight, are we? It's springtime.
Here's the thing.
I don't know, man. That's above my pay grade.
It should be colder in here because, you know, we just put the hot tub in.
The hot tub. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's 49 degrees outside right now. 49.
It feels like that outside, but it's really warm on the inside. So if you're ever in the studio, you'll know just how hot it is.
We really got to figure out a way to just broadcast right out front here. You know, just set up a card table.
A couple
of microphones. I don't know. A telephone. That's it. That's all we need.
With a few peanut shells.
Peanut shells. Sure.
Maybe we can make some money, right?
We can have some snacks. A little lemonade stand out there for all the early morning risers on State Street. So 49 degrees, clear skies, sunshine already. And it's going to be bright and sunny all day. Today's high, let's get the weather roulette wheel spinning and see what the high temperature for today will be. Round and round and round it goes. We need some music.
We're wearing that.
Maybe tomorrow.
Wheel out.
It's going to be, 71 degrees is the prediction
Just
high
amazing.
For today.
How accurate that is.
It is. It's accurate every single day that we've tracked it.
We'll have to get the weather lottery balls out one of these times too.
Yeah, Well, we did that a few days ago. I'm not sure the accuracy rate on that yet. We haven't tracked that.
Well, we have to keep using it in order to find out just how accurate it
is. Right.
But I think it's been fixed.
Yeah. Yeah, good. Well, good weather today. Should be nice for the UW encampment and the protesters down the street on the Library Mall.
Got a little chilly for them, right?
I bet they're okay. I didn't hear of any trouble, did you?
I think they're all as well.
Good, good. Well, we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Do you want to?
I do have a clip from WMTV.
Okay.
Channel 15, and they were down there, and they covered this extensively. WKOW did as well, but I don't have that clip.
Okay.
Just to give them credit, Channel 3 did not have a clip.
Really?
So I don't know what happened to them.
Well,
maybe they didn't get the news release that there's a protest down here. I don't know.
I think they all got the news release. I think they all got the news. So, yeah. I'm glad that there's no problems there.
But there are problems. They're arresting people in Columbia University and also Northern California University as well. 3 a.m. in the morning there, and the cops are out there ready to clear them out.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, hate to hear that. Let's check the National Day calendar. What do you say? We can't dance and it's too wet to plow.
All right. Well,
I know. I don't know what it means.
You got me on that one.
Means nothing. Okay. Mm-hmm. We could ask Pam Yonke one of these days what these old country sayings mean. We need to get her in here for an interview.
I was going to try it about a month ago, and I completely fell down on that one.
Okay. What day is it today? Is it National Bubble Tea Day? Is it National I don't even know how to pronounce Preparathon. National Preparathon Day. Or is it National Military Brats Day? How about National Adopt a Shelter Pet Day? Or National Sarcoidus? Skip that one.
Yeah, I don't know that one.
National Hairstylist Appreciation Day. National Oatmeal. There's too many days. National Raisin Day. National Oatmeal Cookie Day. National Cross Country Day. Which one of those days does not belong?
National Sargodosis Day.
Okay. That, actually, you're wrong. That does belong. Oh, I actually missed a couple. National Honesty Day and National Bugs Bunny Day.
Yeah.
No, the day that doesn't belong is National Cross Country Day.
Oh.
So I don't, were either of you in cross country? Were you runners in high school? Sam, how about you?
I was a sprinter in track, but not long distance.
Yeah.
I was not.
Cross country always seemed a little weird to me.
Yeah.
Just go out and run around.
Right. Just,
hit a field.
No one's going to want you. You just take a big long break.
Take a shortcut.
and a shortcut.
Yeah. Take a cigarette break behind a tree or something and show up at the finish line.
So it would normally be cross country ski day, right? They differentiate between the two sports.
Right. Yeah. So. Well, let's look at, which one of these should we look at first? National Bubble Tea Day?
Bubble Tea Day. I have no idea what the hell that is.
All right. Yeah, I'm not sure.
You don't know what bubble tea is?
No.
No.
Really?
What is bubble tea?
How do I even describe it? It's like, it's a milk tea, so it's tea with milk. It's served cold, and then you usually put what's called like boba in it, and it's like balls of tapioca.
You're all over this.
Yeah.
I never heard
tapioca?
Of this
either. Tapioca?
Mm-hmm.
And that's supposed to taste well. It's like drinking something with chunks in it.
Well, yes, it's not chunky. They're like, but they're like a little bit smaller than a marble, maybe, and they're kind of chewy.
Okay.
It really startled me the first time. Like,
yes.
They serve it with like a really big straw, so you can suck it up through the straw, and I didn't expect that to happen, and it kind of startled me when this like marble-sized object flew into my mouth.
Wow.
Yeah. But it's good. It's sweet. It's tasty.
Well, let's see. National Bubble Tea Day. Get out your boba straws.
Seems like you ordered that from some restaurant. Is there a place that serves up bubble tea?
There's at least two places on State Street, probably three.
All right. We'll have to try that. Get out your boba straws. Is that how you pronounce it? Boba? And grab your friends and celebrate National Bubble Tea Day, celebrated by indulging in the best that bubble tea has to offer, from creamy milk tea to refreshing green tea to fruity slushies, all customizable with different toppings, sugar level, and ice levels. So, okay. But now we know everything you need to know about bubble tea. Thank you for informing us, Sam.
Here.
National Preparathon Day.
Preparathon, yeah.
National Preparathon Day. What could this possibly talk about? Natural disasters like earthquakes, floods, or wildfires require us to make decisions with little or no warning. So it's really about preparing for the very worst, which is what we're doing for the next 6 months as we go through this political year. Preparathon Day offers tools and resources for communities and citizens that help them prepare their businesses, families, and schools in the event of disaster. Okay. There well, I get it.
It's fine.
You know, everybody wants to be safe in the coming, you know, apocalypse.
Military brats. You know, I've never had a military brat. I wonder what it tastes like.
No. No, it's National Military Brats Day,
okay.
Not brats. Yeah, I know. You're born and raised in Wisconsin, never left Wisconsin. I get it. You know, you'd think that's brats.
You would think.
It's brats. Military brats. Once a nomadic band who struggled to stay in touch, military brats are leveraging social media to pick up and reconnect the disjointed pieces of their childhood. Wow. Unlike most children who shared the same classmates, K through 12, military brats often attend 4, 6, or even 10 to 12 different schools. That's a lot.
Yeah.
We moved around a lot as a kid. I went to 6 or 7 different schools. Mm-hmm. It was not easy. So we salute the military brats. They actually have their own registry. They have a bunch of things. Operation Footlocker, American Overseas Schools Historical Society. So the military brats are getting in touch with each other. That's good.
That's real nice. Really uplifting.
Somehow, I don't think you're being sincere, but I'm going to move on anyway. All right. What next? National Adopt-a-Pet Day? Shelter Pet Day?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do that one.
Okay. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's see. All right. Suddenly my computer is
this
stopped.
Here we go. This is something that Christy did not know about, apparently.
Who didn't know it?
Christy Noem.
What are you talking about?
The governor?
Oh.
Who shot her dog?
Oh, God. Oh, yeah.
Left it in a gravel pit. Pretty nice. Nice
awful.
Final journey there.
Oh, thanks for bringing that up. Bringing us down. National Adopt-a-Shelter Pet Day. Yeah. So when did that happen? Recently?
No, a long time ago.
Okay.
You know, 20, 30 years ago. But she wrote it up in her autobiography.
Mm.
You know, had to tell everybody about this wonderful experience she had with an untrainable dog. And then
Good
she
Lord.
Killed it because she couldn't train it because she was a bad trainer. So she killed the dog.
That's awful.
Sounds good. Sounds very Republican, doesn't it? You know, blame somebody else. Mm. Blame the dog. Kill the dog.
Oh, man.
What a solution.
Wow. Well, animal shelters require year-round assistance and adoption. That's part of the process. And since animals come in daily, the shelters must work quickly to ensure the animals' health and well-being. So let's salute the National Adopt-a-Shelter Pet Day. Okay?
You know, it seems crazy, doesn't it? The way they screen individuals
who
want to pick up a shelter dog.
Right, yeah. I've been looking for a dog for a while, and I've been to a few shelters. Yeah, there's an application process. They really, you know, ask you a bunch of questions.
Yeah.
Whether you've had dogs in the past.
Well, you're
that.
Probably already in the system because you purchased a shelter dog before.
Right, yes. And I'm still looking. Still looking out there. I'm going to wait till I get moved up or down here.
Would you like to adopt our dog?
No, I don't. You're really still having problems with your dog, huh?
Wow.
You got a handful there.
We trained her a little bit, and all of a sudden she's gone back to the old ways of barking at the TV whenever it's on.
Is that annoying sometimes?
It could be.
Okay. All right. We've got more national days to go, including National Honesty Day and National Bugs Bunny Day. So,
I wouldn't want to miss that.
Well, Sam is going to be cracking open the history books, too. So
it's
all coming
better.
Up on the John and Gordy Show, you know.
Let's have a little afternoon tea here.
Okay.
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Most of us agree that every Wisconsinite deserves affordable health care. California mega millionaire Eric Hovde does not. Hovde said he would repeal the Affordable Care Act, quote, in its entirety. What? The Affordable Care Act protects people from insurance companies refusing coverage for pre-existing conditions and stops them from dropping your coverage if you get sick. If Eric Hovde got his way, millions of Americans could get hit with increases in their healthcare premiums of 20% or more. Millions more could lose coverage altogether. Hovde even spoke out against parents helping their kids by keeping them on their health insurance plans until they turned 26.
Now, that might be okay for Eric Hovde. His businesses have raked in millions of dollars in handouts. But it doesn't cut it for hardworking Wisconsinites and our families. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him we support lower health care costs. Paid for by Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Honesty is such a lonely word. Everyone is so untrue.
This is for you, John.
Honesty,
Billy Joel.
Is hardly ever
Yuck.
Heard.
Not one. I will admit, not one of my favorite Billy Joel songs.
Exactly. And not a lot of production value in that, baby.
It's all about honesty. Okay. We'll get to National Honesty Day in just a moment. I want to go back to National Sarcoidosis Day. I hope I'm pronouncing
sarcoidosis.
It's actually a disease. It's a non-contagious immune system disease, most commonly found in the lungs.
Mm.
So it's just a day to become aware of this. It's an inflammatory disease that can affect any part of the body inside or out.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah, it can affect muscles, bones, kidneys, eyes, liver, the heart, or any other part of the body. So be aware that, I don't know.
Well, if you get
they make a hashtag for these things so you can connect with other people.
If you get something like that, you know, Eric Hovde will blame you for getting it.
Is that how he works? Really?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Seems to blame every health problem on, I guess, you know, your lifestyle instead of actually, you know, genetically or something happening within.
Okay. All right. Well, that's the way he is.
Yeah.
National Honesty Day. Let's skip ahead to that one. You can play that honesty song again.
No, don't.
We like to really.
There you go.
I like,
honesty.
Like to listen to it once every 10
That's
years.
That's why we played that.
Each day on April 30th. By the way, April 30th.
Yeah.
We're celebrating six months on the air.
6 months.
6 months on the air here today. Yeah. Honesty. Honestly, it's been a great pleasure, hasn't it, John? Just speak from the heart.
Honestly, I guess you're
it's
right.
It's all about honesty. We know the different kinds of lies. We're spared someone's feelings or fudged the truth. Maybe just a little. Maybe you've told a little white lie here or there just to be, you know, so you won't hurt somebody's feelings. Or maybe told an all-out whopper. Unless we walk on water, we've all told a lie or two.
Mm-hmm.
This observance encourages truthfulness. National Honesty Day, whether we're conducting business or speaking with our kids, honesty goes a long way toward instilling confidence. We all make mistakes, John. Sometimes we don't know the answer.
Don't look at me when you're saying that.
I'm not.
What's the biggest inconsequential lie that each of you have ever told?
Oh, God, I don't know. Why do I?
Inconsequential.
Because it makes for a good story. Yeah, like it was a big lie, but in the end it didn't really matter, or it didn't have like any bad consequences.
You're basically talking about my life.
Yeah. Not. Let's see, which one of my marriages was worse? I guess I'd have to ask both of my ex-wives. Let's move on.
I think, Raisin Oatmeal Day is...
National Oatmeal Cookie Day? That's a... Oh, no, we got National Raisin Day and National Oatmeal Cookie Day. They both fall on the same day.
Okay. Wow.
It seems...
What a coincidence.
It's too many days today. There's too many observances.
Yeah. Got to squeeze them all in before the end of the month.
Okay. Oatmeal Day. Oatmeal cookies have been around since the 1800s. The cookies quickly became popular, and by the early 1900s, a recipe for delicious treats appeared on containers of Quaker oats. Why not? Oatmeal cookies are also considered health food because they're an excellent source of iron and fiber.
Iron.
Iron. Just another reason to have an oatmeal cookie today. Hey. Some of the other benefits of oatmeal cookies include, scroll down, it helps to lower cholesterol.
Yes.
Oatmeal reduces the risk of heart disease. It may reduce your risk of cancer, according to the American Cancer Society. The grain is low in fat. Oatmeal is low in calories. Add oatmeal to your diet today. today. Okay.
Right. How easily we forget about the reason part of this whole thing.
Oh, Lord. I know.
Never mind.
Well, let's go on to the history books. We're tired all these days on the calendar.
Too many days. Let's take a look at what we got.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. 1897. J.J. Thompson, the physicist, he announces the discovery of the electron.
Big day in physics.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Revolutionizes the understanding of the atom. Mm. Eventually, quantum mechanics. Once we get a couple of years down the line, but big deal.
Yeah, it is a big deal.
Yeah, we got to get a guest to come in and talk about quantum mechanics. Boy, hey, that's crazy stuff. Yeah. Do you know about that stuff? Did you take physics?
No, I read about it some. Sophia is doing a physics minor, so she talks to me about it every now and then.
Well, you should know more about it then.
Well, I mean, I understand some things, but I'm not a physics whiz by any means.
Yeah, quantum mechanics is really out there.
Oh, yeah.
It's really, I don't know.
It's sounds paradoxical.
Like sounds like you had a brush with it somewhere along the way in your life.
A friend of mine's son is into all of that, and like in a graduate program. And he just asked the question, well, what is quantum mechanics? And then just sit back for 45 minutes.
Hours.
Yeah. It's mind-boggling.
Most people's exposure to quantum mechanics is probably limited to Oppenheimer.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay.
Let's see what else happened today. 1939, the New York World's Fair opens.
Yeah.
That was a big fair.
You remember it well.
And films.
Yeah. Remember it like it was yesterday.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the pictures and films. No, I don't remember.
Some of the biggest technologies showcased at the fair define the 20th century. Television, air conditioning, color photography.
Wow.
Lots of cool stuff.
You can find a lot of these videos on YouTube, where they went through the fair and they filmed a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
It was a big, big fair. Yeah. New York City. Okay.
All right.
What else happened on this date?
1993, Tim Berners-Lee, the guy that invented the World Wide Web, he released the code for it into the public domain. So the internet as we know it today went public. The internet existed beforehand, but as we know it today, it went public.
Yes. And if it didn't enter the public domain, what would have happened?
Yeah.
We'd be paying high prices.
It wouldn't exist or it would be commercialized.
Yeah.
What was the guy's name that did this?
Tim Berners-Lee.
Okay.
He was a computer scientist at a particle collider in, I think, Switzerland at CERN.
I think I heard an interview with him or maybe somebody else, but they just came up with WWW because of the worldwide, they just wanted something.
He wanted,
to identify it. And then they regretted it later because
it sounded dumb.
It's so hard to say WWW. Everybody was running around saying WWW for years.
Exactly.
And it was really kind of unnecessary.
Yeah.
So
it's kind of .com boom.
It wasn't as hard as saying WWQM radio station across town where I first started in Madison.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
What was the first time that each of you were on the internet? Do you remember?
Not really, but in the early 90s.
Yeah, I think 1994 maybe, 93, 94. So it wasn't too long.
You're starting to catch on publicly.
Yeah. And it was mainly for email, it seemed like, early on.
Yeah.
We had AOL.
There's a
way back then, first time.
There's a clip of Katie Couric and Matt Lauer, or maybe Brian. I think it's Katie Couric and Brian Gumbel talking about WWW and the early email.
Oh,
it's,
really?
It's called email, and it's pretty.
That'd be kind of cool.
We
got to
see if we can find it. Yeah.
We should look for that.
All right, we'll do that. Katie Couric, I met her once. Very nice lady.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I hung out backstage of the Today Show. You know, met Matt Lauer, Al Roker.
She recently made a political comment, and everybody started stirring and getting a little angry about it.
She's got a really good website. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, keeps up on all the news. All right. Yep.
Got a couple birthdays. Bobby V is going to play us out because he was born today, 1943. And then also Kirsten Dunst, 1982. Happy birthday to those two.
All right.
Back with more of John and Gordy coming up.
Just send my baby back home to me. Take good care.
You're listening to Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Escalated testing for high path avian influenza in dairy and now beef Is this threatening trade? I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Tuesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Stephanie Hoff and Charity Seebecker are in Washington, D.C. right now with fellow farm broadcasters. They got a chance to visit with Doug McCallop. He's the chief ag negotiator in the Office of the United States Trade Representative. He says that the testing is good for consumer confidence and good for trade confidence.
We haven't seen widespread trade implications. That's still the case today. We want it to still be the case. That's why, you know, we always want to have science-based discussions with trading partners. If we adhere to the science, we're going to be okay. They're going to be okay. The U.S. has undoubtedly, I think, the best animal disease surveillance in the world. We have the strongest food safety protocols and programs in the world. Many countries are going to have to confront this, and it's in everybody's best interest to adhere to the science, and that's going to keep trade moving throughout this process.
Doug McCallop, he is the chief agricultural negotiator in the Office of the United States Trade Representative. Markets in overnight electronic trade on a Tuesday morning. Right now, all red ink. Numbers are next. Research, promotion, and education. That's where your Wisconsin soybean checkoff dollars are being invested. Adam Kask is the executive director of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, fresh off a trip to Georgia, learning more about how soybeans are used in firefighting foam.
Yeah, that was down in Dalton, Georgia. We saw a demonstration of a new firefighting product, actually a foam made out of soybean meal. And the whole intention is to replace the current firefighting foam on the market right now is made with PFAS chemicals, the forever chemicals that we're hearing so much about. So our parent organization, the United Soybean Board, has been working on this project for at least a couple of years now. So down in Dalton, Georgia, we had the opportunity along with several other states and a lot of firefighters from some of the different soybean producing states to go down there and see a test of this product. It actually worked very well.
Adam Kask, executive director of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, talking about soy-based firefighting foam. Find more at wisoybean.org. No change on barrel or block cheese prices yesterday. AA butter dropped a half to $2.96 per pound. This morning, the May Class 3 milk that goes into cheese down a penny at $18.07. June, unchanged at $18.18 a hundredweight. Right now, December, new crop corn down a penny at $4.72. November, new crop soybeans are down a nickel at $11.73.5. July, new crop wheat down four right now at $6.04.75. So just a quick snapshot on news on the marketplace and numbers in the marketplace. You can find more at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny and warmer today. We'll get to around 70 for a high this afternoon with wind out of the west becoming south at 5 to 15. Tonight, scattered showers and thunderstorms, are low 55. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 71 with more rain and thunderstorms tomorrow night into Thursday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 46.
Spring is the best time to sell your home. The Madison market is hot right now. So get ahead of the spring rush and list your home today with the Aaron Weber Group. Move to Madison.com is your resource with listings updated every 15 minutes. Easy and convenient virtual or in person showings and meetings. Aaron Weber Group makes your selling experience perfect. Move to Madison.com. Rapid response, going above the ordinary, and getting you what you want. The Aaron Weber Group, powered by First Weber. Move to Madison.com. Spring is in the air.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Earl Ingram.
Tuesday morning, join Sandy Williams and I as we take a look back to the presidency of Donald Trump.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
Mad Radio. Don't be waiting yet. 92.7 FM at 1580 AM. I thought that would be a little bit longer, but what a familiar tune.
And we're playing it because it's National Bugs Bunny Day. We forgot this on the National Day calendar. And this is a big one because, Bugs Bunny first appeared in a short film in 1938. Wow, it's a long time ago, huh?
He was in war films.
He was in all kinds of things. Known for his comical antics, Bugs, but can you play a little bit of the music again underneath or no? Or are you going for something else? Okay. Bugs Bunny created memorable roles in Looney Tunes and Merry Melodies cartoons produced by Warner Brothers. The Wascally Wabbit, it says here, caused many a raucous scene for his castmates, Daffy Duck, Yosemite Sam, Porky Pig, Pepe Le Pew, and Marvin the Martian. Remember Marvin
the
Martian?
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Of course, his big counterpart was Elmer Fudd.
Very edgy stuff.
1938. That's when Bugs Bunny first appeared. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well,
we got that out of our system.
We did.
We were talking about the internet.
Yes, the very first acknowledgement, basically, on TV. But we should play that. Do we have that all queued up and ready to go?
What is the internet anyway, John?
Yes, now what is the internet? Let's find out.
Yeah. That little mark Katie Couric with the and Brian A Gumbel. And then the ring around it?
At?
See, that's what I said.
Mm-hmm.
Katie said she thought it was about.
Yeah. Oh.
But I'd never heard it.
Around.
I'd never heard it said. I'd always seen the mark, but never heard it said. And then it sounded stupid when I said it. Violence at NBC.
I heard be around big or about in the lunchroom. The
See,
week.
There it is. Violence at NBC, GE.com. I mean,
Allison should know.
What
do you
is
say
internet
about
anyway?
Internet is that massive computer network, the one that's becoming really big now.
What do you mean? That's big. How does one? What do you write to it like mail?
No, a lot of people use it and communicate. I guess they can communicate with NBC writers and producers. Allison, can you explain what internet is?
No, she can't say anything in 10 seconds or less.
Allison will be in the studio shortly.
What
does it mean?
It's a giant computer network made up of, started from...
Oh, I thought you were going to tell us what this was.
It's like
looking
a computer
in the
billboard.
It's not in there. It's a computer billboard, but it's nationwide.
Right.
And it's several universities and everything all joined together.
And right.
And others can access it.
Right.
And it's getting bigger and bigger all the time.
It came in really handy during the quake. A lot of people, that's how they were communicating out to tell family and loved ones they were okay because all the phone lines were down.
I was telling Katie, and I've been
talking. You don't need a phone line to operate internet? No.
It's a series of tubes. Do we have that cut any place?
1994.
The internet is a series of tubes.
it's not a dump truck.
There is another one with Katie Couric and Brian Gumbel, too, talking about email. What is email?
We'll look for that one, man.
Too. Yeah.
That is pretty crazy stuff.
The early days of the internet, 1994. So today is when they started WWW?
It's basically the birthday of the public internet.
And that was in 93. Wow.
Man, if only I could remember my first reaction to it or trying to understand what the internet was.
Yeah.
The language of it. The symbols being used.
Well, back then, they had those huge computer monitors and massive, tower units.
Oh, yeah, it was very heavy.
And just a green screen. Yeah. It was really slow. You know, I just remember it took forever to dial up anything, just to get onto the internet.
Yes, just dialing into the internet. Yeah. That familiar sound that
we all hated
so much.
Yeah. Those were the days, the early days of the internet. I remember it like yesterday.
Okay. There it is.
That's the sound right there. It's kind of a mixture of the fax machine and dial-up telephone. I guess the same thing.
It's kind of hard to imagine why it would have so many little sounds like that. Yeah. What was it doing?
I don't know. Yeah. Now we've got
talking. Machines talk to each other.
Yeah.
My parents went through college right before the internet like became a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so like they didn't interact with it much. My aunt did some stuff with it when it was like brand new, but she didn't like think much of it.
Mm-hmm.
Cause like she had been using computers. It was just like another computer thing. It wasn't that neat initially to her.
Right.
And now AI has taken over. I mean, 31 years later,
it's
been. Yeah.
And we're hoping that we can get our AI assistant in the studio
Mm-hmm.
One of these days.
One of these days.
You know, yeah. Everybody has a friend or a number of friends that have not joined the internet. They don't have emails. Right. They refuse to have a computer.
Well, yeah. Out in the country.
Maybe people your age, John.
No, you're right.
It's true. People my age, a lot of the people that I know, not a lot, but a few people that I know, oddly just are not attracted to it, don't seem to think they need it.
Don't want it.
You know, the easy thing about texting is just, you know, you can say a few words, just remind somebody of something, or if you have just a thought about maybe you want to see a different kind of movie, you could just tell somebody, hey, think about this. Let's go see this. What do you think? Mm-hmm. You know, something easy without a long telephone conversation. But they don't want to do it. They're not mm-hmm. curious in some way. I don't get it. Well, I don't understand it.
They don't want the hassle, I think. They think it's, you know, going to confuse their lives, and they don't want to be a part of it.
Yeah.
A lot of the older people, older than us, you know, there's still some elderly people that are older than us.
Right.
And, you know... I was in contact with them at my old job, and some of them don't have cell phones either. They never had one.
They have a flip phone.
They have some basic flip phones. Yep, that's it. The wonders of the internet. All these years later, where will it be 30 years from now? What's it going to be like then?
It's sad. Yeah, I just wish people could join the internet and have all the technology at their fingertips. I think it would make life so much more interesting for them.
Listen, there's still places out in the hinterlands here in northern Wisconsin, even central Wisconsin, where they don't have the internet, where they have very low internet service or very weak internet service.
Well, thank you for that lead-in.
I thought I might be doing that, setting it up for you. You have a story about that, John?
I just happen to have one.
Wow,
oh, my
it's
gosh.
Right there, right
well,
in front
just
of you.
Imagine not having the internet. Oh, no, among those impacted of not having the internet, because today is the last day that the federal government will assist people to have the internet.
What? Wait a minute.
Now, some people can't afford the internet at all, so these little chunks of money that the government allows them to have, they put towards having internet service, and that is going to be ending. Among those impacted will be 90,447. That's pretty specific.
Wait, what? 90,000?
In Speaker Johnson's district alone, this is Mike Johnson in the House.
Okay.
They are holding up. They do not want to pass or continue the internet access service that the federal government has been providing for many years here.
Okay. Really?
Because, during COVID, everybody suddenly had to have the internet in order to communicate and go to school. And so they put a stipend out there of $30 a month to help low-income families who are earning up to 200% of poverty line to afford the internet. So today,
Affordable Connectivity Program.
Yes, is helping 23 million households. One in six households across America. The program was particularly benefited rural communities. So, of course, the Republicans who depend on that rural vote, they're cutting them off. Right?
That doesn't seem right.
It doesn't
does
seem
it?
Like they'll ever be held accountable either. They won't lose any votes, oddly. Mm. In 2024, reliable access to high-speed internet is no longer a luxury. It's a basic necessity.
Yes.
The Affordable Connectivity Program expires, and there's a bipartisan bill to extend it through the end of the year. It has enough co-sponsors to pass the House, but Speaker Johnson refuses to allow a vote, even though his own constituents are among those that benefit most. One out of three households in Johnson's district basically benefit from the program.
Huh.
And there are hints that the Republican Study Committee budget, the House GOP's conservative caucus with Johnson once chaired, they said they stand against this fee, this stipend, and they label it government handouts.
This is unbelievable.
See, this is where the ideology gets in the way of just helping people, solve a problem that the entire country has all at once. Everybody has this problem. They have a way to solve it, but it's a government handout, and their basic platform as a Republican, no government handouts. The government is here to help.
Mm-hmm.
The worst words you could ever hear, right?
Sam, what were you going to say?
I got something to add less on the affordability of the internet for low-income families, but also just the accessibility of it, like in rural areas, because I grew up in not a super rural area, but rural enough that there wasn't wired internet yet. For a period of time, my dad used to run a business, and we had satellite internet. And after 2008, the business kind of went under, so we got rid of our internet. And we just didn't have internet at home for, quite a while. We had our phones. Mm-hmm. Like, my mom had a smartphone, and we used the internet off of that. But when I started needing to use it for school, I had to bike, 5 miles to a library in order to use the internet.
That's the way it is in rural communities.
It was kind of ridiculous. Yeah,
it is. That's something. So the government wants to take this away completely. Just pull the plug.
Pull it, yes.
For the rural communities.
Yes, it helped for a while. We found out that it helped greatly. But when we have these emergency programs that proved to be very successful in helping people connect to the internet or just make their lives easier, their benefit to their businesses, we pull it because, there's an ideology that says small government is the way to go, even though we know they're not all about small government at all. Right. We've seen the red states. They've got a lot of government going on down there.
Mm.
But this is a situation where they just, the benefits of having a program like this are not recognizable to them.
Is this going to happen automatically? Today is the day the Affordable Connectivity Program supposedly ends.
Yes, it's not going to continue unless they approve it in the House.
Okay.
And a lot of them won't do it.
This would be like back in the early 1900s when the electrification of rural areas happened.
Yes.
If they just decided, we had it for a few years. Did you like the electricity? Now, guess what? You got to pay for it extra, and we're going to disconnect you now.
Exactly. And the excuse is that, it's a government handout.
Right.
Forget us.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't seem to be a very logical thing to do.
It doesn't. It doesn't.
People are going to be just going crazy if they shut off the internet.
Oh, man.
For the rural folks. I don't think it's going to happen overnight. They're going to fight it out here for a while, right? They'll extend it.
A temporary extension, perhaps.
Right.
That would be recommended at this point. But
otherwise,
anyway, they claim it's unnecessary because 80% of beneficiaries had internet access before the program went into effect.
Oh, okay.
Thus,
well,
what Sam told us, taking his bicycle to the library, that's the internet access that a lot of people have. A lot of them have it via cell towers.
Mm-hmm.
And when a number of people get on it, suddenly their traffic slows down dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really a debacle.
It really is.
They're really cutting off a lot of people in regards to this.
Yesterday the Busted Pencil guys were here, and we got talking about the, they're in town here, and we got talking about the AI, and how that's going to be affecting education and how that, how teachers are going to try to integrate this into some of the classrooms and use it and teach kids how to use it.
And not to be afraid of it.
Not to be afraid of it. And, in fact, they're going to join us tomorrow morning at Short Stack Eatery, just down the street, 301 West Johnson Street.
That's right.
We'll have the Busted Pencil guys.
Very interesting.
It's all about
fun
education.
Guys to talk to about this.
They're really up on everything education-wise. So we're going to get educated on education tomorrow at Short Stack Eatery. You can also stop by and join us at Short Stack tomorrow, 6 to 8 a.m.
Well, the thing, about having 80% of the beneficiaries already had internet access who are getting this $30 a month, it's very misleading because a study found that 68% of the beneficiaries reported that they have inconsistent internet service or no internet service at all. And remarkably, numerous members of this own committee, this Republican committee, are also sponsoring a bill to expand this program at the same time they're not going to approve it. That is seriously.
What? Wait a second.
That's right. The Affordable Connectivity Program, they're proposing to expand it from where it is now, but they are opposing approving it.
Mm-hmm.
Try to figure that one out.
I don't know. My head's exploding and spinning at the same time. Okay, coming up, Ron Johnson hates the protests on the UW Library Mall. We're going to get the latest on that right around the corner.
There's no connection.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
A farmer from just outside of Madison found something unusual while picking rocks from his field in preparation for spring planting. A meteorite. Yes, Jim Koch found a 110-pound meteorite. UW scientists confirm it is indeed a meteorite made of iron and nickel, and it may have been created in the solar system more than 4 billion years ago. This is the only meteorite ever discovered in Dane County, though 13 others have been found in other parts of the state. This particular one is now on display at the UW Geology Museum on West Dayton Street in Madison. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Matt and Air on Air.
How many roads must a man walk down before you call him a man? How many seas must the white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand?
Great song. Great song.
Isn't how many times must the cannonballs
Mr. fly Zimmerman?
Before yeah, Bob they're forever banned?
Keep it going.
The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind.
It's also on the internet.
The answer is blowing in the wind.
The answer's in the internet?
Does it? Yes, the answer is in the internet. Okay, Mad Radio, WMDX, 92.7 FM and 1580 AM. The John and Gordy Extravaganza. Once again, Mad Pat is here for you.
That's right.
All you have to do is get a hold of us through the Civic Media app, text us or give us a call. What's that number again? Do you know what that number is?
I do, John. I have it tattooed on my forearm here. It's 608-879-8255. 608-879-TALK. You can call us or text us there. Phone lines are open right now. So,
I didn't want you to never use that tattoo.
I got it. Might as well use it.
That's what I'm thinking, you know?
Okay. Okay, so Ron Johnson.
Yes, Ron Johnson opposes all of these protests.
Of course he does.
Big surprise, right? The Republicans seem to not like protests for some reason. I don't, it seems a little authoritarian, right?
It does.
Dictatorial.
It does. Yeah.
Under those regimes, you can't protest. So I would assume that that kind of leads into the kind of government they assume or want.
Yes.
And, this is Ron Johnson's tweet about the campus protesting, supporting Palestine, egged on by the Fox News hosts. They said that radical leftist rot. Let's play this. Let's play this cut again. 1:35. We played this earlier, many days ago, but it's good to be reminded now that we have so many people out there protesting.
Okay.
When will the money stop flowing to these universities that coddle these New Age Nazis who are standing up for terrorists?
Wow.
When we stop electing radical leftists to the presidency and to Congress. Do you really think the Biden administration is going to prosecute any of these leftist protests?
First Amendment.
They'll continue to call them peaceful protests,
no matter
how violent they will get. Yeah. They're only interested in investigating and prosecuting and holding without trial Republicans.
So
the MAGA Republicans, the people, half of America they believe
are
potentially domestic terrorists. So this is a complete partisan effort here. This rot on our college campuses, this leftist, radical leftist rot, has been present literally for decades. It's just being revealed in all its full glory right now. But again, I don't expect the Biden administration to really do anything about this.
No, they wouldn't do anything about, legal protesting, First Amendment right to protest their government. Yes, they're not going to prosecute people for that. Mm-hmm. Isn't that odd?
Yeah.
You think Biden would just be out there with the federal government, arresting people left and right, throwing them in jail for protesting.
For legal protesting.
Yes.
Yeah.
For peaceful protesting.
Peaceful.
Put them in jail.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't take into account that they are peaceful until they send the cops in and start pushing them off.
And then it's not peaceful.
Yeah, suddenly it doesn't become peaceful anymore.
Yes, and all of a sudden, these are the protesters. This is what they're all about.
Yeah.
I remember when Act 10 was being protested here at the Capitol. The Republicans thought the best solution to that, to stopping those protests, was to use a little physical force.
Right. Yeah.
Hitting them over the head.
Yeah, smacking them around.
Smacking them around.
Yeah.
That was, they actually came out and said that.
Yeah.
That's their solution to the problem anyway.
Well, and, you know, and it's happening all across the country. In fact, it is. Around the world now, there are protests going on.
Well, hundreds of people have gathered at the Library Mall. They're out there protesting.
Just down the street
in an encampment. That's right.
Yeah.
And here's a report from WMTV Channel 15 last night in regards to their coverage. Let's listen to this.
We will free Palestine!
We will free Palestine!
I'm here to support students and faculty and staff who are standing up for an end to the war on Gaza, who are standing strongly asking the university to divest from the occupation, to divest from war profiteers, and saying that we have to use every bit of power we have to put an end to the slaughter in Gaza.
Madison community member Sol Kelly Jones joins students as they advocate for freeing Palestine.
As a community member, as a parent, as someone who cares about peace and justice in the world, I feel like we have to be showing up and we have to be raising our voices now.
The majority of the attendees supported the Free Palestine cause, though David Skadorn expressed concern for the Jewish community, saying support of Hamas is anti-Semitic.
I think the Palestinian students have every right to be concerned, to be hurt, because what is happening is terrible. This is war, and it is happening as a result of Hamas. Hamas went into Israel on October 7th to kill innocent civilians, rape innocent civilians, and they know that. What do you mean lies? You don't think they went into Israel on October 7th and killed innocent civilians?
During his interview, protesters could be heard saying that he's lying and chanting Free Palestine.
This is a modern Holocaust denial. They are actively denying what happened on October 7th.
They're not really.
Students for Justice in Palestine member Dalia Saba helped organize the rally, saying her family experienced injustice in Gaza.
You know, I've seen how my family members were treated when being forced out of their homes and trying to go back to their homes. And so this is something that goes, you know, starts long before October. This is something that has been an injustice for decades now. And this latest escalation shows that we cannot continue the status quo any longer.
She hopes UW faculty and decision makers take note.
I think that it's important that the university take our demand seriously. We are not here to speak just for the sake of speaking. We are here to demand that the university end their complicity in the genocide in Gaza.
Yep.
I've reached out to UW-Madison to see if they can speak to the demands that are being asked of them, and they have not responded to me yet. Live in Madison, Marcus Arswold, WMTV 15 News.
So that's what's going on at UW campus on the Library Mall. The protests continue. They've got a little encampment now there, people camping out, and we'll see how this progresses, but
there are people that are against the protest, and what they do is they mention some of the things that are real, and then they throw in things that are not real, and then the crowd says, no, that's a lie.
Right.
And then, oh, you mean the whole thing is a lie?
Yeah.
You know, it's,
it goes from there.
It's completely wrong, and it's a very peaceful protest. The encampment is there. I understand that the university can't allow the encampment to be there, even though it's against rules or the regulation that they have, but they can't allow certain circumstances, which might be, you know, called for currently. So we'll see what happens there.
Keep an eye on things.
Well, next hour we're going to talk about Eric Hovde. A few things from him have cropped up again.
Also coming up, our guest attorney, Jim Santel. We're going to talk about the Supreme Court ruling.
I cannot wait for this segment.
I know you've been waiting all week for this. Last week, too. It's all coming up on the John and Gordy Show.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Lobel Show.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Next up on the Maggie Dawn Show, I'll be joined by Journal Sentinel reporter Rory Lenon. A bit of scandal on the school board. Don't miss it.
Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Hi,
Hi, I'm Emily from Weikert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Your home, your property, your decision. At Weikert Realtors Lake Point, we'll guide you every step of the way, whether you're buying or selling a home or exploring commercial property. Your dream is within reach. You'll find our realtors love what they do, and more importantly, we think it's fun helping our clients achieve their goals. Who wouldn't want to do that every day? Give me a call at 608-721-8002. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weikert-lakepoint.com.
You're listening to Mad Radio. WMDX 1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.